hearts and minds to receive a fresh word from God that can change your life, delivered by our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Hold up your Bibles and let's jump into the word. This is leave it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it, whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Today I'm starting a new message series entitled Prepare for Battle. This will be kind of an extensive study through Ephesians chapter 6 on the armor of God. A couple of weeks ago, I was praying, seeking the Lord. God, show me what's next. What do you want me to teach next? Where are we going? And the Lord brought me to Ephesians chapter 6. And he really burdened my heart for what's happening in Ephesians chapter 6. And so I began to study, began to really pray and concentrate on what's happening there. And then I'm telling you, I believe let me start over, because I was stuttering there. I believe what we need in the time that we're in is to know how to do spiritual battle, amen? And so I want to prepare you to do spiritual battle so you never have to worry again how you're going to win, amen? So here's the question. How many of you realize that you're in a spiritual battle? How many of you feel like you're winning? And how many of you feel like you're always on the losing end? And the rest of y'all ain't raising your hand. All right. You know, what's happened sometimes is we like, why am I always feel like the devil's beating me up? Do you know how many times I've heard through the years, Pastor, please pray for me and my family. The devil is attacking us. The devil is eating our lunch. We just can't seem to find spiritual victory. My usual response is, why are you letting him win? And I don't say that flippantly, and I don't say that sarcastically. I say that seriously to children of God. Listen, you have dominion and authority over him, not the other way around. And the moment that you start to believe it, the moment that you start to walk in it, is the moment that you put the enemy on notice. If you call yourself a child of God, the devil will mess with you. How many of you, before Jesus, you didn't even know there was a devil? Because you was the devil. He never messed with me because I was like part of his starting lineup. Then all of a sudden I got saved and he went, oh, I gotta try to win you back. But he don't have a shot of winning me back because Jesus has my heart. Anybody in here sick and tired of being sick and tired? Anybody want to do something about it? The purpose of this series is to get you and I to begin to refocus on what God says we already have as a result of the relationship we have with him, as opposed to what the devil's lying to you about. Many times we can view the fight as hopeless because we've already been through some stuff, and it's hard for us to forget where we've come from. It's hard for us to forget the past. And many times as reminders, or the devil will remind us of our past to get us to see the frailty of our, or the possibility of our future. You see, you lost here, and you did it wrong there, and you did it wrong here, and you did it wrong. You're probably going to do it wrong again. You're probably going to fail again. Matter of fact, there may be people even close to you, maybe even sitting next to you. I don't know why you're trying. You're going to fail. And I'm telling you, today's the day we break that. So while I'm studying this one day, about a week ago, I happened to be flipping through channels. How many of you flip through channels because they ain't nothing on them 500 channels you got? I'm like, click, click, click. I look at the guide, page after page, ain't nothing happening. Finally, I see this movie playing that I've seen a bunch of times, and I'm like, oh, I like that movie. I'll watch it. How many of you love the Rocky movies? Everybody loves Rocky. Well, it happened to be watching Rocky IV. Let me remind you, if you don't remember what was happening in Rocky IV, this Russian fighter by the name of Ivan Drago had just done an exhibition fight with Apollo Creed, and he killed Apollo Creed in the fight. And now Rocky Balboa has decided he's going to go to Russia and train to avenge the death of his friend Apollo. And this is where we're going to pick up the scene right here in the movie.
Go with what you are. Have you read the papers? Do you know what everybody says? It's suicide. You've seen him. You know how strong he is. You
through the air.
Trying to get inside. He's completely exhausted.
Now she gets on board. Well, a month ago you told me I couldn't win. Now I'm going to do it, right? And now everybody wants to get on your spiritual bandwagon when they see you winning. You know, I was watching Rocky that day. That fight scene lasts 10 minutes. I'm watching it. Not one time did I get nervous that Rocky was going to lose. Although through round after round after round, it sure appeared that Rocky was not going to win. I knew he wasn't going to lose. Well, a couple of reasons. Number one is I've already seen the movie. But number two, I know what the script says. See, the script writer wrote it in there to make it look like Rocky was on the ropes, that he was going to lose. And I want you to know, the enemy is going to get you to believe that you're on the ropes, that you can't win. Come on, just throw in the towel, quit and go home. Just forget about it. It's not worth the battle. And the script writer has already written the end of the fight, and the fact is you win. It doesn't matter what it looks like round after round after round. It doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down and how many times he cuts your eye and makes your nose bleed. I want you to know you win in the end. And the moment that you figure that out is the moment that you begin to have victory over the enemy, not the other way around. Rocky IV, you should go watch it this afternoon. It's a good movie. What happens along the way is, though, we get in those rounds where we start to feel just our hands are tired from holding up the gloves. We're sweating. We've given all that we think we can possibly give, and we don't think we have anything else to fight with. And God's in your corner saying, come on, one more round. One more round. One more round. Listen, I want you to know, sometimes the voice of just one more round is all you need to get you to the next round. And getting you to the next round is the thing that will eventually get you to knocking the devil on his behind. Right. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to study over the next 7 weeks, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. I'm going to read them to you, and we're going to study really just a couple of verses here today. Verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, always be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. 7 weeks from those 8 verses of Scripture. And I love, as I begin to study, as I begin to dig into this passage, how the Apostle Paul used the word finally. I was fixated on the word finally. As a matter of fact, the Lord had me study finally for a couple of days. And I finally got past it. Right? Finally, as I studied it, the Lord reminded me of in Scripture, when he puts the word therefore in Scripture, what are we supposed to do? Ask ourselves, what's this therefore? So anytime you see the word therefore in Scripture, we stop, We go back to remind ourselves of what God said up to that point, right, before we go on. Because it's important to have recollection of what you just read before you move forward. This word finally does a lot of the same thing. We get to the word finally there, and Paul's saying, here, I'm coming to the end of the letter. Finally, stop, look back, and remember some important facts about yourself and about Jesus and about your relationship with him before you move on, finally. So let's do that. What he's saying is, in conclusion of the matter, as you folks say today, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, finally. Who put the heater on up in here? Turn it off. Ephesians, I'm going to go through chapters 1 through 5 as quickly as I can, because there's some things that I want you to see about yourself and about Jesus that are important for us to, before we continue, right? Finally. Chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us. Say, he chose me. I couldn't really hear you. That's right. He chose you in him, in Jesus, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship and daughtership through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In chapter 1, we're reminded that in Christ, we are spiritually blessed people. Here we're reminded that not only are we spiritually blessed, but that we're highly favored. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm spiritually blessed and highly favored. Now, y'all don't sound like y'all really mean it. Chapter 2, verse 4 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. How many of you have ever thought that somehow your sin will disqualify you from a relationship with God? Anybody ever thought that? Yes. Listen, here it is right here. Made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Here in chapter 2, we're reminded that we're saved by grace alone. The unearned, unmerited favor of God over our lives is the reason that we're saved, because of anything that you did, but because of everything that he did on that cross. Chapter 3, verse 10, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Listen to this. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. As a child of God in chapter 3, you are putting the enemy on notice. I am a child of God because of my relationship with Christ. I am in Christ and Christ is in me. And I want you to know, devil, this is his ground and you have no business, no rights, and no authority here. It is time for you to pack your stuff and get out. Amen. Chapter 4. So Christ himself gave some to be apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Here Jesus is calling his church to unity and maturity. And not only is he calling us to unity and maturity, he's saying, I've provided all that you need in this organism called the body of Christ to become mature and complete, no longer infants, no longer tossed to and fro by every wind of teaching out there, by everything that comes along your path. You don't have to be swayed by that stuff anymore. I've provided all you needed if you just get connected to the body.
Amen. Amen.
Chapter 5 in verse 6, he said, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, don't be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Paul's telling the church, hey, walk in obedience. If you'll just walk in obedience, I got so much for you. Your mind can't even wrap around it. The Bible says no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has in store for those who love him. Listen, I want you to know God has great things in store for you, but you got to walk according to his plans, not your plans. And here we are back at Chapter 6, verse 10, finally. Whew, finally. After all of that, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Finally, because of the fact that you're highly favored, saved by grace, that we have access to God, we're unified and we're maturing, and God blesses our obedience, we can and we should. They're important to our context and for us before we move forward. First one is be strong. The Greek word endunamo, be enabled and strengthened. In who? In the Lord. The word is kurios, the supreme authority and master. Why are we're strong in the Lord? We have his mighty power. The word of mighty is the Greek word kratos, and it's his dominion and authority. And then we have his power, the ithus. So here's what he's saying. Be enabled and strengthened by the supreme authority and master Jesus through his dominion, authority, forcefulness, and ability to do battle against any and all forces that come against you in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
You have the power. Say, I have the power. They could write a song like that. Today, I want to give you three simple things that will prepare you for battle as we prepare to dig into Ephesians chapter 6 over the next few weeks. The first one is this. It's on your handout. If we're going to be prepared for battle, it starts with resting in your new identity. How many of you know you have an identity? It's not what people said about you. It's not what the enemy's telling you. The enemy will always call you by your sin. Jesus always calls you by your new name. Somebody else ought to say amen.
Amen.
Resting in your new identity. What does he say? Finally be strong where? In the Lord. See, if you're not in the Lord, then you can't have what's in the Lord.
Right.
See, that is reserved for people who are in the Lord. You have an identity if you're in the Lord. If you're in the world, then you have your identity. You have whatever it is that you've created for yourself. And if you want to get rid of that, then you have to be in the Lord. You have to be part of his family. You do that by accepting the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross to be your Lord and Savior, and then you're in Christ. Amen?
Amen?
The only way for you and I to be in the Lord is to know the Lord. You don't become strong in the Lord while you're just practicing religion or going through religious rituals and practices. I know a lot of people that go through religious practice. They know a lot about God. They just don't know God. It may have even been you at one time. Know a lot about God. I learned some stuff. I went to church my whole life. Learned a lot about who God was. Didn't affect my life one bit. Until I made a decision to know God. To know him, right? See, you can't rest in your new identity while the devil's calling you by your old identity. But I can always take the devil to the place. How many of you have a place? Yes. A time, a day that you remember specifically, maybe getting on your knees, praying a prayer, whatever it was, coming to an altar, and you said yes to Jesus. And when that happened, your life began to change, some radically, some maybe slowly, but the fact is transformation began to take place in your life. And I want you to know, the devil don't want you to remind him of that. He wants to remind you of all of your past. But the moment you say, hey, stop, devil, listen, I got a place. It's right there at that corner. And at that corner in my truck is where I said yes to Jesus. And my life began to radically change from that moment forward. So whatever you got to say is irrelevant to me. You got to go, right? Listen, I know that I know. How many of you know that you know, right? And when you know that you know, they can say all they want. They can talk all they want. Now, does my life always look perfect? Yes, of course it does. No, neither does yours. And that's what the devil does. See, he goes, well, you don't really look holy. You're not really acting righteous. Well, it's just a good thing that looking holy and acting righteous is not what makes me holy and righteous. Thank the Lord for that, right? Because there'd be many days when I wouldn't be holy and righteous. Don't tell anybody. But because of what Jesus did on that cross and my accepting that free gift, he is what made me holy and righteous. It's what makes you holy and righteous. It's not a feeling. It's not something you do or don't do. I want you to know you can't be holier than you are right now. All right. Do you know that one thing is that will never change? Don't matter how holy you think you are or how close you get to Jesus, I want you to know the devil's still going to come. He's still going to throw the bait. He's still going to hope you take the bait. I was telling first service, we have these stucco columns in front of my house. One day I'm working in my office at home, and I hear, what is that? So I thought somebody was knocking on the door. I look around the corner. Nobody at the door. Man, that is aggravating. Like, what is that? I walk outside. There's a little bitty woodpecker about that big hanging on my stucco column. That. I like, get me a gun. I don't think you're supposed to kill those birds, but let me tell you what he did. He found a weak spot in the concrete, and he pecked and he pecked and he pecked. That sucker put a hole in my column that big around, and he made him a nest in there. Yeah, he's not living there anymore, though. Nah, he must have went elsewhere. I don't know what happened to him. But that's what the devil will do. Yeah, he'll find a little weak spot in your armor. You know that you know the spot, right? Just don't peck there. You can peck anywhere. I'm strong over here, but don't peck. And that's where exactly where he's going, to the weak spot. And he's gonna keep pecking on the weak spot till a stronghold. You don't want the devil. And you know that you and I get to decide if we're going to allow it or not?
That's right.
The devil's beating me up, Pastor Eddie. Why are you letting him? Yeah. You have spiritual authority. You and your new identity in Christ, tell him to go. Yeah. Rest in your new identity. Highly favored child of God, right? Say it when you say, I'm a highly favored child of God. Yeah. Amen. Number two, if we're going to have spiritual, if we're going to be prepared for spiritual battle, we have to be standing strong. Ephesians 6, verse 11, he says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Listen, when the devil knows that we won't be moved by his constant scheming, he will leave you alone for a period of time. But listen to me, he will be back. Ooh, the devil has left the building. Thank the Lord. I'm so glad for that. Don't rest. He's coming back. Just be prepared for his return. And know his scheming. Listen, here's his scheme. Lies. The Bible calls him the father of lies. So I can promise you whatever he's got to say to you is a
lie.
Thank you. So don't believe it. But go to the Word and begin to dig in the Word and find out, what does the Word say about me? What does God say about me? Am I going to believe the truth, or am I going to believe the lie? Am I going to believe the script writer who already wrote the script for my life? Or am I going to believe the lie? Putting on the full armor of God simply means that we spiritually know who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and what we have as a result. You know what I love is when we stand in that place where we know who we are, we know who He is, and we're not going to be moved by what happens around us. How many of you know that faith is being sure of what I hope for and certain of what I do not see? I will not be moved by what I see or what I don't see. But you know how many times through the years of starting a church that I couldn't see where God was taking me, and by faith I had to step into the literal unknown and trust by faith? I was telling First Service, you know, we're in the process of trying to put a building back there for some overflow space for our children's ministry. And what's going to happen in the next several months is we're going to move this wall back a few feet so that we can add some chairs to our sanctuary. And I read verse 11 that we're to take our stand against the devil's schemes. And so what happened was we started the process, and in starting the process, we ran into some roadblocks. How many of you ever happened to you? And the Lord said, just keep going through the process. Don't worry about the outcome. You know, when I told the story when we were trying to buy this place, and on paper, it didn't make sense. But we knew, our leadership knew, that God was calling us to step out in faith. And we did. Thankfully, I had those men around me and people around me praying and saying, we believe this is from God. And now we look back almost 3 years later, and it's like, we're in a completely different situation. But it wasn't always that way. It required me to stand my ground even when it didn't look right around me. I want you to know, walking with God, many times God's going to ask you to stand. And while you're standing, what's happening around you will be unsettling. What's happening around you will be scary. It can and will cause fear and anxiety. Or we can rest in who He is and who we are and what we have. And because of that, I stand my ground. And I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be moved to fear. I'm not going to be moved to doubt. I'm not going to question. I'm not going to have anxiety. I'm going to trust God even when I don't see. Amen. Today is the day we stand strong. And lastly, number three, we can never quit. If you want to see spiritual victory, if you want to experience spiritual victory and be prepared for spiritual battle, you have to go into the battle with this mindset: I'm never going to quit. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, verse 13 says, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. In verse 13, he says, after you've done everything, to stand. The word stand there is the Greek word histeme, and it means to remain or continue. Often, when we have seemingly done all there is to do, we think somebody not happy back there. When we think we've done all that we can do, and we're at what looks like a dead end, what looks like this party's not going any farther this way, I don't believe. So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to turn and just say, this is what happens. People go, this must be the will of God. I guess it's just the will of God that I lose this one. I guess it's just the will of God for me to quit. I guess it's just the will of God to turn and walk away. And I told First Service something. I haven't said this, I don't think, publicly. If I did, it hadn't been too many times. Several years ago, into about the second year that we were a church, we got to a place where financially we just were struggling. And I had to go to Peggy and say, babe, we need to put some money into the church. I didn't take a paycheck. Matter of fact, I made sure everybody got paid but me, and I had to put my own money in to do it. And I don't say that because I want your sympathy. I say that because not one time during that time did I ever say, I'm going to quit. I had resolved in 2000, God called me to start this church, that I would never quit. Because I knew that the battle would get hard. And I want you to know, when you decide to step out and walk with God, and you decide to enter the battle, whatever that battle is for you, I want you to know there'll be times it'll get hard. There'll be times you'll want to quit. There'll be times you'll want to throw in the towel. There'll be times you'll want to turn. I'm just going to get another job. I'll get another job making way more money than this and a lot less stress. And I have to deal with all them crazy people. Not you. I was just... Or I can do what God's called me to do, and I can just never quit, because I know right around the corner is going to be a spiritual victory for me. And I want you to know, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is you're in right now, don't quit before the victory comes, because you're going to cut yourself short, and you're not going to get to see and experience the spiritual victory. You know that in the Rocky movie, at any given moment from rounds 1 to round 11 or 12 or 13 or whatever it was, before the fight was over, it looked like Rocky was losing. His corner could have just said, I'm throwing in the towel. He's getting beat. He's going to get killed if we leave him in there. This is not going good for him. And at any moment, they would have thrown in the towel. The fight would have been over, and he would have never got to experience the victory that he had in that ring. And I want you to know, if you quit now, you're not going to experience what God has for you somewhere out there down the road. Never quitting means, no matter how beat down I feel, no matter how low I get, no matter what it looks like on the outside, I'm going to keep going forward, because God's called me to go. No matter what. Say it when you say, no matter what. Being prepared for spiritual battle starts with, remember this, resting in your new identity. Not the one the devil keeps lying to you about. The new identity. The holy, righteous child of God. That's you. Standing strong, regardless of what's happening around me, and never quitting. Would you stand with me? We're going to end service today by taking communion together as a church family. If you did not receive a communion packet when you walked in, just raise your hand and they'll get you one. When everybody has one, please open the top and take out the wafer. And I want to talk to you about that here for a minute. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, the Apostle Paul wrote these words: whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We have to remember, we cannot proclaim the death of Jesus Christ without simultaneously reminding ourselves about the life of Jesus Christ. Yes, he died. He went into a grave, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and he lives today. This body that was broken and beaten for you and I is a reminder that no matter how bad it looks, no matter how hard it gets, don't ever give up, because Jesus broke his body for you, right? He broke his body so that you and I could experience peace. Look what it says. He took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Say, we're healed. We're healed. We're healed emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And Heavenly Father, we take this bread today as representation of your broken body, and we receive all of its benefits today in Jesus' name. And then there's the blood. Oh, we can never forget about the blood. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. The word redemption, the Greek word is apolytrosis, means the full and complete payment for your sins. The ransom has been paid in full. When Jesus spilled his perfect, spotless, sinless blood, not another drop had to be spilled to cover your sin. The Bible says, it says it like this, he's removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. Thank God we have no idea how far that is, but it's so far that Jesus says, I choose to remember it no more. Today, Heavenly Father, we receive the blood of Jesus that covers our sins. We're no longer going to believe the lies about what the devil's saying about our sin of the past, and we're going to live in the freedom and the victory that we have because of the blood of Jesus. We praise you and we thank you for it. Now, Heavenly Father, as we prepare to go, my prayer for the people of God at New Beginnings Church and those watching us online today, God, that you are preparing us for spiritual battle. We know we're in a battle, but God, we want to be victorious in the battle. And I pray, God, over everyone that you remind them you have a new identity. Don't walk in the old one. Renew your mind. Begin to walk in the new identity. Holy, righteous children of God. Highly favored children of God, that we can stand strong regardless of the way it looks around us, and that we should never quit because you're with us and our victories may be right around the corner. We love you. We give you praise and glory because you're worthy. We ask you to walk with us as we go in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week. Together, there's no